Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
So I'll read the first and fifth is on the board. Shri Rishi Uvacha Sadhu Prishtam Maharaja Haresh Charitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavat Bhakti Vardhanam Giyate Paramam Punyam Rishibhir Naradadibhi Natva Krishnaya Munaye Katayishye Hare Katam.
The idea of brahmacharya, the brahmacharya ashram, then it's not so much the principle of the externals of celibacy. It's the attitude of learning, you know, and it has the foundation of all the other three ashrams are found in the brahmacharya ashram. And so whatever is learned in the brahmacharya ashram, then you're going to add to that the specifics of the other ashrams. Other ashrams means the grihastha ashram works because it's based on the principles that are learned in the brahmacharya ashram. It's just a particular application. In other words, when you apply whatever principles are there in the Vedic civilization is learned as a brahmacharya. Then you apply them to a household situation. You apply them to a retired situation. You apply them to a renounced situation, or you apply them to the rituals or the duties of a Brahmin or of a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, a Shudra, like that. They're all based on what is learned as a brahmacharya. So sometimes it's not really understood what the brahmacharya ashram is. It's just thought, you know, if you just, you know, you put on saffron, you're away from the girls, and that's all, you know. But it's actually, you know, it's more than that. The thing is that self-control has to be gained, because, okay, as a brahmacharya, self-control is there. As a grihastha, you need more self-control. You know, brahmacharya, you know, it doesn't have a woman, you know, sleeping a few feet from him. A grihastha does. So that means there's need of more self-control. You know, you have, brahmacharya doesn't have money, grihastha does. Brahmacharya doesn't have so much, you know, freedom, grihastha does. You know, so therefore this need, it's based on self-control. Self-control is not there, the grihastha ashram won't run very smoothly. It won't come out nice, you know, like that. So, let's say, principle of service, the service attitude. If it's not there in the grihastha ashram, then grihastha doesn't just sit down in his house and then everybody takes care of him. He has duties to do. He has service that he must do for the family. So if he doesn't have a service attitude, he won't be able to do it as a householder, you know, because they... Brahmacharya, you're dealing with no ego, but a grihastha, you're dealing with an ego. There has to be an identity. I am a grihastha, I have a family person, I have these duties, I have this position in society, I have, you know, other things like that. So then if he doesn't have an attitude to serve, then that application of the ego won't work. You can't apply any of the elements of social interaction without service. It doesn't work. Yudhishthira Maharaj had the mood of service, therefore he's glorified. Duryodhana didn't, therefore he's not glorified. Both were, as far as expertise in the science of administration, both were expert. But the difference is Yudhishthira had the mood of service, while Duryodhana had the mood of, you know, prestige and his facility and all those kind of things. So there, the ability to work cooperatively with others. If you can't work with a bunch of other brahmacharis, how are you going to work with a family? You know, how are you going to work with people that you have to deal with at your occupational duty? You know, like that. How are you going to deal with the greater society? It won't work, you know, like that. So respect. If there's a brahmacharya, you don't learn respect, then you go out and you work. You have to respect who you're working for. You have to respect who you're working with. You know, you have to respect, you know, people who are customers or different things. You have to respect. You have to respect the law. You know, you have to be able to respect your wife. And if you can't do these things, then it won't work. The society won't develop. So we see the fundamentals of what makes human life. They're taught as in the Brahmachari ashram. Then you add on to that the detail of the grihastha, the application as a grihastha. It's the next natural step, like that. But the idea is, well, everyone will get married. We don't need the Brahmachari ashram. Then that's okay if you don't want grihasthas. If you want grihasthas, then brahmachari, some training is necessary. If you want grihamedis, then you don't have to worry. The karmis are great examples. They don't bother with brahmacharya, and they it works out, you know, whatever it is. Even they don't like it. You know, they're complaining. You know, So it's actually very essential. So the brahmacharya is learning how to deal. So brahmacharya is not signified by how much you dislike women, you know, or how much you can say bad about them, or how much you can ignore them, or you know, how you say, you know, when you're serving prasad, you know, that it would look similar to how you were serving the cows or the pigs, like that. Then you're a good brahmachari, you know, like that. Brahmachari means he's neutral. That's the thing. It means the child is neutral. They're not attracted to women. They're not repulsed by them. So, but a child lives in the family, therefore there's more interaction. The brahmachari doesn't live in the family, so therefore there's no need of interaction. Or what little bit is there, it's just done in a neutral state. So that's a brahmachari. Someone who's neutral, they're a good brahmachari. Someone who's either too attracted or repulsed, they're not good brahmachari. So the whole idea of the system of the menial service, that all these things, is to bring them to that neutral state. Then from that neutral state, then they'll be able to go out and deal properly with a wife and a family. Because they see women as mother, so then they also, their wife is also going to be, is a mother. So that potency of motherhood, that potency, the feminine potency, is there. That has to be respected. If it's not respected, then they themselves will fall down. They won't be able to deal properly. Like that. So the same respect is there, because the point is that the grihastha brahmachari means the grihastha who approaches his wife only when he wants to conceive children. Like that. So the same principle of brahmacharya is there. So the respect for the woman has to be there. If there's no respect, then how it will work? Also, if there's no respect, how there'll be camaraderie? You know, how there'll be cooperation in working and raising a family? Like that. If there's no... So these things, that they have to be there, the self-control, all these different elements. So that's why Prabhupada says the first-class brahmacharya makes the first-class grihastha. Like that, because he is a good brahmachari, therefore he already deals properly, so therefore in the household situation he'll be able to continue that proper detail. But if he's just heavy, nasty fights with everybody, you know, completely lusty, and that's the reason he's getting married, then it's a problem, because the interaction with a woman is a little more than just lust. I mean, it has a limitation if that's your only reason to get married. You know, I mean, it's like,
what is the process that one gets to this neutral state and becomes that, that type of brahmachari? I mean, obviously there's some process to get to that
point. Yeah, no, that's it. Is. The how you say? Well, yeah, means all those elements have to be developed. So they have to be engaged in service. They have to develop a service attitude. So then they need to understand why it's the importance of that service. Service is there because that's the nature of the soul. So the soul's actual, it means real nature, is service. So since we don't have that pure service attitude towards God, we practice it through our the situations we're in, through the chanting and all that, of course, through the worship of the deity, but in this case, then through the social situation. So as a brahmachari, there's certain service you do, just like as a grihastha, there's certain service, as a vanaprastha, as a sannyasa, like this. So then they will be trained in those services, you know, and for them that means menial, like that. So that principle is there, is to be able to do something that creates the mood of servant, like that. So we see that the duty or the nature of the brahmachari, of the women, of the artist, and of the devotee is the same, like that. Is that of service. And the elements of chastity, those four have to be manifest. Otherwise, they're not good in that field, like that. So on top of those four, then you have these special qualities of that the men have as the kshatriya, or as the vaishya, or as the brahmin. But that's added on top of those four. It's not separate from them, like that. So it's a foundation, yes.
Have you found in your, because we're dealing with such a contaminated time, and you've dealt with so many hundreds of children, and we know that most of us have come from wretched backgrounds with all kinds of wretched karma. So it seems that sometimes even trying to mold us into this system, our qualifications are so few. So how many are actually eligible in this day and age to even take that up, and given with all of the contamination that we're all dealing with, you know, how likely is it to even develop those qualities? And then, because sometimes somebody, there's so, the samskara seems so serious, does this Vedic system take into consideration all of that, and no matter where somebody is, there, that can be moderated?
You can always get something out of it. Mm-hmm. It's just like, let's say, but the thing is you have to, what's necessary is like you can take an unlimited amount of milk and turn it into yogurt as long as you have some yogurt. So the thing is you have to have some yogurt to start with. So you have to have that mood to start with. Then from that you can give it to the others. If you don't have it, like we were discussing before, if you have the ritual but not the mood, it won't go across. You know, or if you have the mood but not the form. So you have to have both, like that. So then it benefits everybody. Some can take it more or less. That's why you have all those different stations of the four varnas. And so accordingly, then they can go deeper into the training within the brahmachari ashram. Means if you're trying to get them to the brahminical platform, then they have to be able to go deeper into the brahmachari ashram. If you're trying to get to the kshatriya, basically it's practically as deep. Vaishya, then there is some space. Then shudra, then the basic principles have to be there. That means the fundamentals have to be there, like that. And then, because in any case, you take your lifetime to perfect it anyway. Like that. It's what you learn in brahmacharya is you apply that the rest of your life, and then that's the idea, is that by the time you leave the body you have perfected that and you're able to think of Krishna. So the principles always work. They always get some effect. It's just a matter of to what speed and degree. So if you really want to apply it, then you have to have ideally, you know, some group of persons who can see the different speed and be able to work with the different children at their speed and create an environment of that. But personally, I found that's the main difficulty, are finding persons who can accommodate the different speeds at which the students can absorb. And so, therefore, you create an environment in which, means, let's say, you know, the environment to create that in somebody, that you can do it at a very quick speed, you'll have to do it in a slightly modified way for someone else. And then to be able to run those both at the same time, you need special people. Because somebody can work, I can work with this group, I can work with this group. To find people who work with both groups is a problem. So you either find everybody can work with all of them, or you put those who can work here, they work with them, these here. But you have to have a few people that understand the whole thing and try to keep everybody from, you know, killing each other. Like that. But it is an important thing, because otherwise the detail of one that works for one doesn't necessarily work for another. It's just like you'll find I've seen all kids like to learn some mantras, you know, some deity worship, some like this, you know, a little bit of everything. But only certain kids like to go deep in one field. Everyone wants to learn some mandanga, but only a few kids want to take it to a very deep extent. Only, say, everybody wants to know a little Sanskrit, only someone to get into it deeply. You know, someone to do the puja, but not deeply. Or cooking, everyone would like to know a little cooking, but no one wants to become a chef. Like this. So, therefore, there has to be fundamentals that holds the whole system together, but there has to be ability to go out into these different fields. So before, we used to run them all together with a few people that knew how it worked. Problem is, the people in the system couldn't see it's how it worked together. Like that. So now, in how Prahlad's setting it up is that he's going to separate the different applications. So it's clear that they're different. And then the people can identify and get deeply into the area. Otherwise you have, if they're all mixed, then the weaknesses is some boys that say they can't go so deep into something that's considered more brahminical or more spiritual, they feel bad. They feel that they're less. When it's either just the speed that they'll learn or their application that they're going to apply it later in life. So if you separate them, then they're following a complete program and they feel satisfied that they've gotten a complete body and they're not below the standard. And those who can follow a different standard, they follow that, so everybody gets to follow. But still, it's very important to the mood that it feels that it's one system like that. So more important than the technique is the attitude, is the mood.
And isn't that really what the challenge is in our whole society?
Yeah.
Is seeing the standard and then realizing that we're all maybe not following it to the degree we'd like, and then how we internalize that, how we deal with that, how we deal with our criticisms of others, how we honor the standard.
Yeah. No,
and appreciate it, and at the same time become enthused to keep moving toward the goal, even though we seem so far away. That seems to have been lacking at a really core level.
Basically, because it would be, because it's natural. I would say is that, I mean, just from my observation of going around, I've noticed in the last few years kind of a change where devotees have come to the point of purification and practice that they could now start to apply this. Because when they first came, it's like you said, samskara, this, that, are very, not very good. So after 20, 30 years, then the senior persons have gone through this. And many now, as in many spheres, we're starting to attract those that actually come with better samskaras, like that. I've seen a lot of places, you know, people who come, they come already with a little bit better culture and like that. So it matches. But the thing is to go to the next step, because a lot of the older devotees then, because of their bad experiences from interacting on a platform where the samskaras aren't good, they have a tendency to either blame the system or to feel that, you know, it's impractical to get to these levels or this or that, when many times they're already unknowingly already at the levels, but they think, I'm not at the level, you know, is that they could easily do, they could do these things. It means they're already doing, they're already nice to others, you know, but they're still talking about how, you know, this one did this, this one did that, But you see in their dealings, they're very nice, because you talk to someone else and you hear what this person used to be like that, they'll say, wow, this guy was this, that, but you see them, they're a very nice person. So in the same way, the process worked. So now they're ready to do those things that 30 years ago they were trying to do, like that. So it's just a matter of being inspired to see that it can be done. It's not a loss, and just taking it up and forgetting, you know, forgetting all the whatever this one said and that one said and this one did and that one did, and it's no use. We've changed, they've changed, you know. It means of course, maybe there's some stubborn persons, but whatever. You know, well, that's another. But in other words, I've seen is that devotees are ready to try to apply the process, the social system, everything, in the right attitude. I've generally seen where you go around when you discuss its meaning, the attitude behind it, and now that there's generally a very good response. Well, if you go back 10 years, you wouldn't get that, because they already felt they were doing it, though everybody was disturbing, annoying everybody else, like that. You know. So, but now I've seen is the devotees, the culture and all that is at a much, much greater level, like that, than I would say it was previously.
Going back to Brahmacharya a little bit, seems like the situation has become more complicated now, because to prepare for future life, you need a college education.
It depends if you want to go that route. Like if you want to go do business, as far as I know, Bill Gates didn't even finish high school. $30 million a day is not bad. You know, like that. So it just depends upon what you want to do in life. If the education is necessary for you, then you have to take those steps to do that. But there's still the principles of Brahmachari life of means. If the education is important, and you want that piece of paper, then it should be a good piece of paper, right? You know, it shouldn't say F on it or D on it. You know, you know, you're going to get a 4-point average basically by using your brains. You can only use your brains if you have them, right? You know what I'm saying? And you only keep your brains if you're a brahmachari. You understand? Girls don't lose their brains by sex. Boys do. You understand? The girl's semen goes in to make one egg once a month. That's all the semen they lose in their body. So they could have, they don't lose anymore. But the man's not like that. Anytime he has sex, he loses his semen. It means he loses his brain. So therefore, if boys want to make it, then they have to be celibate. So if you're going to do it. Like that. It means, like nowadays, university, generally it's a social scene. It's not, they're not there to get a degree. Just the parents have money and they think it's good. Right? Means we talk about, oh, it can't be done, it can't be this, the social scene and this and that, but you go around and maybe you can try it. Go to the principal of the school, ask how many kids are going at 4-point average, and then check out what those kids do. You won't see them at the parties. You don't see them traipsing around half-dressed. You don't see them doing any of that stuff. They're too smart to do that stuff. That stuff, that street culture is for people with street brains. And street people aren't known for having brains. Right? That's why they're on the street. Right? Isn't it? I mean, something cheap is on the street. Something valuable is you don't see it. Right? Right? Walking down the street, you see a guy just sitting on the side of the road there, put down a little cloth, selling expensive jewelry and, you know, really valuable stuff, isn't it? No, you got to go into some shop, walk past the guy with a big gun, and get inside, and then you know, if you don't look like you're dressed properly, you get thrown out, right? So that's where the valuable stuff is. So the people that are actually making it, the people that go on and actually kind of like run this place, you know, they don't do all the stuff that we as devotees claim that, you know, everybody does, and so therefore we also have to do it. Like that. No, the people that get this straight, they're the ones that make money off of the people that think street culture is where it's at. That's the reality. You know, that's the reality. So there are people now whose daughters won't dress the way people do now on the street. They will, you know, go through the thing properly. They'll marry somebody of standard. They'll do these things. That's going on today. And not one or two cases. It's going on all over the place. It's just that we're foolish enough to be sucked in by the advertisement. This is the funny thing. I find it really, really funny. Is in, I mean, you're in Europe or in India, right? So Europe and India have their idea of what's America, American culture. So they see the advertisements, they see the books, they see the models, they see the stuff. They all try to dress like that. But when you come here to America, I don't see hardly anybody dressing like that. That was a funny, funny thing. You know? Very funny. I find it to be very... So the East Europeans, the Indians, they're more American than Americans. Like that. Americans are actually, their culture is actually quite reserved. American, kind of in their natural state, is very conservative. Like that. So you can be conservative and get by, you know. That's the thing, especially in an environment like this, you know. I don't think anybody's saying you have to do anything. I mean, I've gone around here, I don't see anybody out, you know. So there doesn't seem to be anybody that's forcing. I mean, I did drive down through the center of town yesterday, you know, went down Main Street. I did see about 50 very conservative people dressed in ties and shirts and all that, you know, standing outside one. I guess they were having some kind of program or something. That's all I saw here. I didn't see anything that, you know, I would see on the cover of any magazine or in any ad. I didn't see. So, and my time here in America, I've never seen hardly anybody. One or two. I was impressed. I did see one lady in the New York airport that was going to Las Vegas that looked like just somebody you'd expect out of Las Vegas. Like that. But other than, I mean, I only thought they existed, ladies existed like that in the movies, but there was a real one there. That's the only one I've seen. You know, so.
Well, you didn't go to 57th and 5th Avenue. 57th
and 5th Avenue. Yeah, but that's at 57th and 5th. That's not here in Alachua. It's not in Mayapur. It's not in Mawilambah. It's not in Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's not in any place where any of our communities are. Though our communities claim that the whole world's like that, we can't do anything else other than that. But I've been around the world, I don't see it. It's in people's minds that it's there. That's my experience. Everybody says, I can't do it because they're doing it. And they're saying, I can't do it because they're doing it. It's like, who's setting the scene here? It's only devotees here. Right? The rednecks are out there with these shotguns. Okay, girls, we want on those skimpy dresses. You know, all right, boys, you know, we want to see those cargo pants. Otherwise, you blow your head off. Is that what's going on here? No. There's only devotees here. There's no pressure other than devotees. There's no one out here.
It's TV. You watch TV.
TV, okay.
They see all this stuff on TV.
Yeah, so that's there. But the TV's not forcing you to do anything.
It's just like the Europeans.
I think you weren't in your Sunday feast.
You
probably weren't in our Sunday feast
program. Yeah.
These are another, what I'm just saying is that we create our own social needs, our own social
standards. You'll find out.
Yeah, but just like what he's saying, it's on
like
the TV.
You're known as Gurukula Maharaj, and I'd like to ask a question. But sometimes the Gurukulis, my son, they had a reunion here, and he went there and he came back. He was turned off. You know, they're smoking dope.
Yeah.
Gurukuli means that he's following the instruction of the Guru.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like I'm a nasty old man if you bring up any of these questions or these comments directly to the kids.
Uh-huh.
You just like getting yourself out of it. How can you possibly be speaking? You know, I can't understand how you have the intelligence they can speak. You can't understand why we're, you know, doing these things.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like there doesn't seem to be. I mean, the parents seem to be impotent. I'm myself at the top of the list to actually affect a reaction against this kind of misuse of even just the term Gurukuli.
Yeah, yeah.
What to speak of the illness. I mean, there's kids here who lead kirtans and they smoke dope. And, you know, I mean, there's no standard as to what, who can do what, who can't do what.
Yeah.
There's no measure. You know, I mean, sure, we want to encourage everybody to eat a dope, or sure, come and worship the Lord. So, but when that person leads a kirtan and he takes, you know, half the congregation of young people off to smoke dope, there's an incredible corruption going on. And you talk about the leaders, you know, this guy fell down, this 20 years ago he fell down with a woman or something. That's nothing compared to what's accepted today in the general stream.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do we fight this? How do we correct this? So my son came back. He was discouraged. He wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
He's still, though, he's longing for that association
of
people who are also devotees, vegetarians, believing Krishna, love, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've gone through a similar experience and all that. It's natural. It's the main thing, I think, goes back to what Mataji said, is that you have what is the standard, but we have to recognize where we are compared to it. The tendency is that due to our ego, we don't recognize this, where we're at like that. So then sometimes that makes it hard to bridge the gap. So then one of the things that would make it easy as an application is, we can't look at the children on where we think they should be, but where they're at. I mean, it's like the parent has the ideas, my child should be like this. So then we have to be able to see that my kid is actually like this. Because then when you can identify where they actually are at, then you can figure how to get them from here to a standard. So that means you have to have two things. You have to know, you have to have a standard, and then you have to be able to identify where the child is at. So it would be just like if you wanted to preach, let's say we had a karmi come off the street who had the same habits. Then we couldn't talk to them like someone who didn't have those habits. We'd have to talk to them and get to them where they're at. That would just be good preaching.
Yeah, but we've taken people off the street, and if they can't stop their dope use, then okay, live outside, come to Sunday feast and so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, within the scope of the youth here, there's an attitude, gee, when do we take over the society? But none of them are even chanting 16 rounds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how is it going to happen?
Yeah, what I mean is within the family. I'm starting from there. Within the family, if the parents, because it's the natural thing, attachment is there. And the parent wants the best for the children. And so then they have a standard, an idea that their child should be also within that. So if he's not, then they have to see where he is at, and then start from there, and then preach and other things to bring them up. So it may be slow, it may be quick. I'm just talking about how, because on an overall thing, like on a policy, that's one thing. It's these are affected in each house. You know, that's why you'll see different standards in different houses, because they've been working to different degrees. So probably more important would be is that the adults, they have a common standard. If the adults don't have a common standard, how do you bring the kids to it and get a common? Because otherwise, for one person, it's not so bad. Well, I smoked pot, it was okay. But if I catch them, you know, shooting heroin, I'll kill them, right? But so generally you'll see is what the kid's doing is something that the parents don't really think so bad. Like that, many times. Like that, because things that they think are bad, they're very heavy with the children about. So even the parent is talking liberality by definition means what I don't think is so bad. Then I'm broad-minded there, but what I think is bad, I won't allow. So the thing is what you have to get is that you have a common definition of what's good and what's not. Then you have community. Then from that, then you have a standard, then you can work to bring the children up. But otherwise it's hard, as if in one place is the standard, one place is different. So the children pick that up. I think it's Mahavishnu Maharaj, old Mahavishnu Maharaj, he pointed out, you know, because he's been, you know, through the whole thing and that. And he said children have big eyes and small ears. Like that. So they say that they see a lot, they listen to very little. You know, so it's not they don't hear as much what the adults say as of what the adults do. So it's kind of like maybe this parent's not. So that's the. It's a difficulty of.
So Kanagami is talking like, not about children. We have people here.
But just in the it's a problem that in the Indian concept until they're married, they're kids. Once they're married, they're adults, right? You know, that's how the gopis, right? The Manjaris, they're 12 years old, but they're married. So Mother Yashoda deals with them as married women. So then she. Is when Krishna has to be bathed and she's busy, she has them bathe Krishna because they're married women, like that. She doesn't know that there's a Parakeya Ras going on here, you know. So that's what adds to it. But the principle is when someone's married, they're counted within one sphere, and when they're not, they're counted within another. Within that, of course, you can separate between those who are 16 above, those who are adult, and those who are below. But I'm just talking in general, as if the parents are still the they're still dependent upon the parents, then I mean that's how I've approached what he's been saying here. If you want to broaden it, that's another thing.
He's talking about people who are out of the nest, who are just hippies who were born in the movement or maybe a little off, but they're just mostly like hippies. And they come to the temple and you haven't been here that long.
No, it's just
it's not so unique here. It's not that you guys don't even know what's
No. It's the same old crap. Like that. The people that are living here live there, so we've seen.
As parents, I mean, isn't it the child's where he's at? It depends on a lot to do with us, what we did or we didn't do.
Of course.
I mean, many, like you're saying, many parents have a different sense of liberality where they may think it's all right for their 15-year-old daughter to go out and intimately associate with boys, you know, and another one may think that's not right.
Yeah.
Another one may think that, you know, they don't have to come to the temple. So then the kid gets to that state, like you're saying, where they're at.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we're freaking out. Well, gee, look at my kid. What happened to him? Well, it must be those kids he's associating with.
Yeah. It'll be part, but it's like I was reading this one lady in. She was Nebraska. She's a PhD in, I think, psychology, sociology, all this. So, you know, her daughter was really nice and wonderful and all that, and spunky and lively until she hit adolescence, and then she went nuts. So then she thought this is, you know, she thought this was kind of different, you know, than what she was expecting. So then she started analyzing, studying all the girls in that town of that age. And then she came up with some. Means her observations were good, you know, naturally as a karmi, her conclusions weren't necessarily the best, but the observation she made is those that came from families that had strict standards and the relationships within the family were very close, those kids went through adolescence without any problem. Means they didn't want to do what everybody else did because they already were satisfied where they were at. The kids where the parents were liberal and didn't set standards, then the kids turned to their peers for standards. And so whatever they did is what they did. So then those children had the worst. The parents who were liberal and set no standards, their experience in adolescence was the absolute worst. And those who had very strict standards and close relationships, their kids had the least. And then when you got mixes of that, then it was, you know, in between, where they had good relationships, no standards, then it was bad, but not as bad as others, you know. And those who had standards were not good relationship also, you know, it was like in the middle, like that. But she found that was, you know, basically across the board. And she gave the history of each kid, what their family background was, you know, those who were Vietnamese, those who were, you know, in other words, Asians and those from religious backgrounds, their kids generally did better than those parents who were, you know, very New Agey and liberal, or those who were, you know, just very, didn't have good, strong relationships like that in the family. So that's it. Means if you want to solve the problem, you have to approach it from many angles. like that, because you have to see, are the families strong? Do the families know how to deal? Does the father and mother know how to deal with each other? Like that.
So in discussing Vanashram and all these different levels of devotional intensity and so forth, we come to the practical problem, how to deal with children in a community where, like, as you're describing it accurately, there are many different standards.
Yeah.
So how does a group of parents come to terms? Because, the people with daughters want to get them married to nice boys, mm-hmm. and people with sons mm-hmm. want to see them marry nice girls, and I know the kids are talking about this stuff now and so forth. But how do you come to an understanding? I guess, of course, my son can only marry one woman. I'm not going to have to interview all the people, and it just kind of works out one-to-one family.
Mm-hmm.
But as a community, we should want to have standards, like the
mm-hmm.
The people in with the Amish, they have standards.
That's why they're a community.
Mennonite, or go to a different standard,
mm-hmm.
different level. How do we figure that?
I would suggest, if you want to take it practical, then you start with the individual family should look at their own values and standards and see if there's anything they need to work on. But at the same time, is then when they have an idea of what those are, they should look for other like-minded families. And instead of trying to create one whole big community at once, create within this community many small communities. Means this, like, if your family and let's say five other families are like-minded, then they should get together, associate, create a proper environment in which yourselves can be nourished, and that, and the children also, like that. Maybe you won't find the right match for the son or daughter there. You might have to look in other communities, but at least you'll create an environment in which you can prepare them for dealing properly, because they've seen. Mother and father working cooperatively together. They've seen one family and another working cooperatively together. And then they can start to learn how to deal, how to deal with each other in that. But a lot, so we have to start with the individual and then find those who are close. And then if you start something like that, because it works, it will naturally attract others like that. It will naturally attract, and your different groups and all this, they'll naturally attract. And so then it'll either turn into different aspects of the community, or some commonality will be seen, and then you can make a greater community, like that. But rather than start from the whole a big social to try to make ideal for the individual, it's easier to start with the individual and expand out, because you have control over yourself. Then there's some control in your own family environment, and then you speak to others who have the same control, in their lives and that, and then it'll work like that. It's slow. It means these things, developing community is a slow thing. Because if you already have a core group, and then others come, and then they associate, they like it, they join, they don't like it, they go away, then it's the expansion will be quicker. So until you've created that core group, expansion will be slow like that. Problem is, kids are already growing up. But
faster than
of course, that's the problem. But if we can, the thing is, you can look at it from a longer term vision. Is we can do the best as we can as first generation, give the whatever is the closest we can to the second, then they'll take it from there, develop it more, and they'll create an ideal situation for the third generation, like that. Yeah, whatever it is. It means it just depends upon how far off the standard it is. You can take it and get somewhere. But it if you start today, then the sooner it'll happen like that. So at least maybe.
All right.
Huh.
I think it's good to also, as adults, family members, is also learn how to appreciate the kids who are. They don't have even parents with them, and they have a good standard. They are very nice devotees.
Mm.
They're showing the high standard of spiritual life,
mm-hmm.
and they are a part of the community. But they are like nobody accepts them like models from our society.
Mm.
So that's another thing. We are not appreciating what they want to do, what they are doing.
Yeah, that's why I was mentioning the other point, is that is then you see them where they're at, what's good, what's not good, what is at a standard, what's not at a standard, like what he was mentioning. Kirtan is there, okay, maybe nice kirtan, great. That's at a standard, but then the other habits are not. And then those have to be recognized, that those aren't at the standard, those have to be brought up. So you have to get them to recognize that they're not. And then to show them a value and get them to value that value, then you can move them towards that. So besides appreciating, you have to also train like that. You know, so that's the thing. You know, so you have it's not one or the other. You have to do both at the same time. Is that you have a standard, you know what the standard is, but you approach them wherever they're at and try to find where they're at and get into their head wherever they're at.
But should we have standards in the community, like, okay, if you want to play football, then you have to have your grades up. If your grades don't make it, you will be off the team.
If you want to
lead kirtan,
yeah,
you have to say, okay, I'm not using dope, I'm not having illicit sex and so forth. If you want to actually take a leading role in a temple activity, should we have a standard like that, that the board comes across and says, this is, I know they have a standard like that for who gives class, but it should filter down, especially to the things that the younger people can do.
No, definitely. I would say I would take it as a double thing, is that in this, is that in the temple, yes, have those standards, but since you know that, okay, this group of kids is good at bhajan, create environments outside of the temple in which they could do bhajan and purify themselves by that in a good atmosphere. So that gets encouraged, but at the same time, as it doesn't influence other.
They want to come up to the standards, so they can do it in the temple.
Like that. So, you always have to do, that's what I was saying before, you have to do many things at one time. You know, then you can get somewhere. But you have, you know, that's the thing, you have to start somewhere. So those who can relate to the kids, engage the kids, do that. But they have to engage them with a standard. Otherwise, the kids themselves will probably give the story of the young man who, you know, had grown up with his aunt, and she was very liberal in that, and let him do whatever he likes. And then when he was on death row, she came to visit him for the last visit, and he came up to her and slapped her. And she was crying, you know, why did you do that?
Bitter ear.
Bitter ear. Yeah, something like that. Okay, bitter ear. And he said, it's because you were so liberal, you didn't give me a standard, so I didn't know what to do. So therefore, I'm in this condition. So whatever is said by the parents and the community, when these kids, that was another interesting thing of this survey that this lady was doing, is all the kids, like the girls that got, you know, exploited by the boys, or raped, or all these different things, or bad social situations, they blamed their parents, even though they weren't listening to their parents. They did blame their parents. If the children have a bad experience, they do blame the parents. Though it's a contradiction, but that's the meaning of adolescence, is the parents have a standard, and the kids don't follow it, but they expect that they will be protected from what they'll go through in life by the parents. So basically, to bridge that, the parents have to figure out how to get that standard across. They have the value, they have to find the method. It's like teaching. Is if this didn't work, you try this one. That didn't work, this angle. That didn't work, this angle. Until you find an angle that works. You know, so you have to take, it's not enough that, you know, because it's not enough, you know, because I'm the mom, that's why. It's not enough. Means that's there. Okay, that's why you're talking and they're listening. But it has to be as you can explain it, you can get it across to them, you can give the example, you can make sure you're following the example.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, you have the three different types of intelligence. You know, people learn from hearing, people learn after they see someone else being punished, and then
of course. Yeah, of course. But if you've gotten it through that they value it, then they may not follow it. So, I mean, the value is not so deep, but they know the standard's there. So when they run into the problem, then they'll see, yes, they were right. I've seen that myself. A lot of that, I was talking with one girl from South Africa. Mother was always strict with her and kept her this and that and that. She always wanted to be kind of like loose, do it all the other girls or this and that. Mother wouldn't allow her like this. And so I met her, I think she was 17. Just turned 17. I think, I met her at her birthday. And so then after that, I was discussing with her what were the reasons behind that and what she loses by being so cheap.
and being so available. Just the shallowness of the relationships. If you attract boys because of your sensuality, then that's all they're only going to deal with you on that level. You attract them by your body, they're going to deal with you as a body, and you have more than a body. As a woman, you have your mind, your intelligence, your ego, your spiritual needs. The boys aren't going to they're not going to address that at all. So therefore, then you as a woman, you'll feel that you've been shortchanged, you know. And this is, and the boys won't even notice this. They won't. If they were trained, they wouldn't be doing this. But they won't notice. They're not. They get either sensual or like this. They don't understand the emotional need. So therefore, you lose. They don't lose. Like that. They get a little messed up. They give out bad habits. They're weak. They can't lead the women. They can't get the respect from the women. But they don't get emotionally and mentally screwed up. They're just kind of weak, you know. But the women get screwed up by this. And when she understood all this, then she appreciated what her mother was doing. And then bumped into her later. And then after that, she would always cover her head, dress properly like this. So when she went back, and her mother was waiting for her at the airport, she walked in and walked right by her mother. Her mother didn't even recognize her. Right? She had seen her a few weeks before, because her daughter didn't act and dress like that.
Yeah.
Like that. So then she walked by and kind of, you know, came up and stood next to her and go, hey. And it's like, she was shocked. So it's just, so it's a matter of understanding. And those that, so she appreciated afterwards, you know. Or other boys, I've seen boys in that. You know, the parents had standards and like that, wouldn't allow them to do so many things. And later on when they got older, they appreciated it. At the time, they don't necessarily. But they appreciate it. So setting a standard, trying to get it through is important, because even if they don't practice it now, they know it's there. They know what's right or wrong, though they've chosen the other thing. But if the parent doesn't give them, they don't know what's right or wrong. So then they experiment and they try, and then, so at least even if they're in that, like you said, the third rate intelligence, at least they know that this is right, this is wrong, though they want to check it out. And then when it goes wrong, then they'll see, okay, you know, parents, you know, are a little intelligent.
It's not my intelligence that I want to appreciate.
No,
that's
no,
my
no.
Kid from
no, no, of course. No, I'm not saying that.
Crap.
I'm just saying is that then the kids start to see, the old man kind of know what he's talking about, you know. And then you explain, I know what I'm talking about, not because it's my brain, because this is what is tradition. This is what Krishna has given us, the Acharyas have given us, practical down-home sense. You know, then they start to appreciate authority. It means, first, they have to appreciate the immediate authority, their mother and father. Then they can start to appreciate the teachers and the spiritual leaders and the acharyas and, you know, Krishna and like that.
That's a very nice presentation about why a girl should dress chastely. That's
yeah.
a very nice appreciation.
Because they
one thing I wanted to say is we've seen many examples of, you know, many different devotees trying to preach at different angles to the Gurukulis, older Gurukulis, ones that are not following properly. And especially amongst peers, we'll see two examples of, you know, the ones that try to associate with them and try to bring them by their association to Krishna consciousness or back, but rather it goes the opposite way. By their they take the association and go out. And then we see if we try to preach to them or maybe be a little heavy, say maybe you're doing this wrong, try to come to the temple more, you're not doing, you know, the right thing, then you're a fanatic, you
mm-hmm.
know, you're a, you know, fanatic Hare Krishna, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't, I mean, how do you preach then if you're a fanatic on one side and then you get messed up on the other side to try to
mm-hmm.
help them?
It's generally what I've seen is that you don't preach. Is that if they appreciate you as a person and what you do, then the natural thing is that they'll start to do it like that, you know. So that's where you would start from, you know. That's the thing. So if you can't do that without becoming influenced by them, then best to leave it, because they can only go on so long like that. It means if you look at it, it means the people on Wall Street were hippies before.
You can't, it means there is a handful of people that have been successful that are still there in Oregon and they're still hippies at 60 years old. But it's a handful. Most people can't handle it. It's not a realistic lifestyle. You know, you can't party forever. At some point, you know, you got to get down to the reality of life. It means if you want to raise a family, then you can't be at parties all the time. You can't be out associating with this one and that one. You know, your husband and wife won't appreciate it. Your children like to see their mommy and daddy around, you know, like that. And so, you know, like that, you know. So it has to come that way at some point. It's unfortunate if you come to that realization, you know, in your late 30s or 40s, you know. But it's a reality. So they can't do it forever. So then those that are too far gone try to work it so that they don't influence the others. That's the main danger, is that they influence others. They want to be bad, fine. If they influence others, that's a problem. Then those that aren't can be influenced, then you have to be able to deal with them and relate on their level, that they feel you do understand where they're at. Because the main point is that you don't understand like that, because you're dealing with emotions. Emotions don't appreciate logic. When the emotion is expressed, and then you can put in logic. The mind, if it feels it's comfortable, can take input from the intelligence. If it's not, it doesn't appreciate it. So that's the thing, is that when they explain this, that, so they feel, it means you may have understood where they're at in the first 30 seconds, but the thing is they have to feel they express themselves, you've understood it, then from there, then you can start to bring. But you have to have a standard, you've caught them where they're at, then you start to bring them, you know, like that. But unless you can get to their level, like that, not that you become their level, but you understand exactly where they're at, why they're doing it, certain things that they may not know they're really wrong, or they're doing it because someone said. Sometimes you find, it's a rare thing, but it has happened. Some kids do wrong things just because someone said, made some statement. That's all. So just to show them like that, you know? Like the kid, let's say, he wasn't doing some nonsense and he was blamed for doing nonsense. Then sometimes they'll do that nonsense just because you said. You know? Like that. So then also then sometimes then the parents and other authorities have to be very careful on how they say. Right? Means, you know, heavy terms, heavy words that can be used, but only as last things. You can't use the heavy, you have to explain, you know, what it is. So if you've misjudged, then sometimes they think this is unfair. So then if I'm being labeled as a nonsense, then I'll be a nonsense. So, and then when you talk to some of them, they're only doing it because of that. So then you say this and that, then it's just a matter of talking to whoever is the people that are telling them this, and that them being convinced that they're not. You know, like that. Like the daughter, let's say, I saw that the community of Indians up in, Tobacco. They know the standards, they're being very careful about it. The girls aren't loose, the boys are being careful about who they're associating with, but their parents are always on their case, that they're always, and they're not behaving properly, and it annoys them like anything, you know, like that. So that's that case, where the parents, due to their, you know, attachment and desiring for the good of their children, are overemphasizing and opening, it's kind of like, you know, we heard it. You know, it's not give us, no, we'll do it. We're doing it, you know, like that. So sometimes due to that, then they over do it, and then the kids pull back. They get a little put off. So they want to be nice and all that, but it's like every time that they're there, the parents are always on the case. You know, why can't they just deal with them naturally? So this was the kids telling me, like that. The parents came and said to all the kids, or this, can you talk to them? They were there. I said, okay, all the parents leave. And I talked to the kids, and then the kids, then they started telling. You know, I said, so, you know, they have these values. Don't they have faith in their training and all these things? Otherwise, then why is it they're dealing with us as if we're untrained? But they've been training us for last 15 years, you know, so they don't have any faith that their training's been of any use.
like that. So, and then they were explaining how they're applying it, and they're very careful, and their friends are like this, and some of them aren't, you know, devotees and that, but they appreciate, they respect them as devotees, like that. But they themselves aren't devotees. Maybe they're not vegetarians, but they respect that they are, so they don't bother them, like that. So then, you know, for some other reason in class or in some other thing, then they have some relationship. And I think it's exotic. They come over to their house and they think the Indian food is very far out. You know, but the parents are thinking, why are you bringing home these non-devotees and stuff like that? But they're people who are appreciative of, you know, like that, and kind of like coming closer, like that. So then sometimes they say, you know, that's fair, you know. But if it actually is something else, that's another thing. What I'm just saying is that it's sometimes complex, is that sometimes it's due to the attitude, how they're dealt with, that they deal the way they do, sometimes. So it's very, you have to approach it very individually. You can't, just like you can't lump in the adults, you can't lump in the kids. So, you know, because the parents are interested in their children's welfare. That's the meaning. If they're not, then they're not good parents. But I would expect amongst devotees, even if they don't really have standards or too liberal, they're somehow or another hoping that their kid will come out good, you know, like that. And they think by doing that, then they're benefiting their child. So then they do like that. But it may be their method's not so good. Right? Just because you have a child doesn't mean you automatically know how to raise them, like that. And unfortunately, we don't have the background of that. We have devotee parents who are trained and all that, so that they tell us how. The tendency is, our parents weren't devotees, and so then when you want to talk to them about anything, it's all, you know, sinful activities. So their tendency is to not take anything from them. So there may be some things of use you can get from them, but otherwise, then there. So therefore, the first generation has to start from scratch. You know, so it's a big responsibility. So then, they're trying their best, but much of the times we can see the best may not be up to the standard, you know. And because the society is made out of such people, therefore it doesn't have the social backup for the families or for the children that is ideal. But if we can, you know, try to understand that some, you know, that there are the standards, Prabhupada's standards that he set are valuable, and we, you know, certain standards must be met, and then certain, you know, okay, if you don't chant 16 rounds, we don't care if you come to the temple, but if you're going to sit in the temple and, you know, are out on the veranda and smoke dope, then we can't allow this, you know, because we see Prabhupada didn't allow that. One devotee came, you want to live in here, you give up, you know, smoking pot, you know, but if you don't, you can't live here with us. So the boy stood at the door for some time, thought about it, and left, like that. So not that Prabhupada wants him to leave, but otherwise, if he comes in, then all these, they'll all go back to hippies, like that, you know.
Like that saying, if you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing.
Nothing, yeah. So something is there, but we have to be very careful, is that, okay, Prabhupada gave you standards, but are we practicing the standards, and are we properly explaining and giving these standards to the next persons, like that, because it may be, maybe our example's not good, or how we're giving it's not good. You know, Prabhupada is very expert at finding where the person was at and giving it to them in a language they could understand. So good preaching means you are able to get through to the person. This is like teaching, like that. So then if you look at it like that, then the preaching doesn't mean that how I'm saying it, they have to accept it. I have to find a way that they'll accept it. I don't change my standards. Liberality means they don't accept what I say, so I change my standards, so then what I say is what they're doing. Like that. You know. But that's not the Vedic liberality. Vedic liberality is I can accommodate that they're at this low level and here's the standard, so I'll take them, help them get from that level up to the standard. Like that. So therefore you have to be able to get through to them, you know, get their confidence in that, because without confidence no one surrenders. Like that, if there's no trust, there's no surrender. So if they don't trust you that you're for their well-being, then they don't, then that won't happen. So the same, because if they're not what the parents like. There's something that's not right there. There's something that they don't trust. Either what they say is not what they're doing, or there's something they've done in the past that they feel uncomfortable with. You know, something is there. So it's worthwhile also for the families to figure out what it is. You know, like that. You know, which may be difficult, may be painful, but it's worth doing. If we can't do it on ourselves, how will we get it to the others to do it? You know, like that. But if we're doing it, then it's easy to get them to do it. Or easier, you know. But at least, because there has to be that faith that if they do take up, it will be nice. You know, they're happy doing all their nonsense. But, you know, but they have to look around and see others who are happy. Right? It means they're having a good time, they're happy. But it may be when they look around, they don't see adults who are happy. So they figure that, well, at least we're being happy. You know, like that. You know, so like this. Okay, does that make some sense? So if they, in other words, if what you're doing, they're attracted by it, then they'll do it. I mean, they're doing what they're doing because they're attracted because someone else is doing it. You know, the difficulty is it's much easier to attract down than up. That's the problem. You know, so attracting to the mode of goodness is much easier, difficult than attracting the mode of ignorance. Like that. So, you think? I guess last point, and then I guess we're good. Yeah. Oh yeah, that's good.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, and then we'll finish.
I was gonna go off in a different direction, slightly different. So maybe it's better if we wait.
Yeah, we could wait. Actually, we can do this again.
Thursday night again. Maharaj is going to have a program with. This time with Big Prashad first, and then Bhajan, and then we can have more discussions. So
tomorrow.
Thursday night at 5 o'clock.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow evening, we're here. And anyone who would like to come and talk with Maharaj, just one-on-one or two-on-one or three-on-one, he's available during the day. He's an ocean of nectar and mercy. He'll give you all of his time, all the time you can possibly want. So.
You have a line outside your door.
There's some light for Shadow, and thank you very much.
Interesting.
Thank you all for coming.